Welcome to another Business Spotlight, where we share insights, reflections, and pearls of wisdom from local business owners. My name is Kerry James. I'm a business coach and facilitator. And today we have welcoming to Business Spotlight, CEO and founder of Urban Chain, Soumaya Tahiri. Great to have you on, and good afternoon to you, Soumaya.
Good afternoon, Kerry. Pleasure to meet you, and very excited to be with you today.
Well, let's get on with the first question. I read your LinkedIn profile, and it refers to AI and it refers to renewable energy. So right at the forefront of a couple of environmental movements, if you like. So please do tell us a little bit about Urban Chain. How long have you been in business and what do you specialize in, please?
Yeah. So Urban Chain is about creating systems for new energy marketplaces. And what we do, we decouple renewables from the gas market, create alternative market for them, and exchange them directly with end users. With the message that we have, we basically decouple renewables and consumers from the wholesale market and decouple them from the price fluctuation and risks of a wholesale market. What we witnessed last year about high energy prices, which made a lot of us quite concerned about energy bills. And then also when the price in the wholesale market and gas market is coming down, then it's a worry for renewables because it's not covering their capex and opex. So both sides are struggling with the price fluctuation. On one side, renewable is not investable because of price fluctuation and not receiving the rate that it should receive. From the other side, consumer is also exposed to the price fluctuation, and sometimes the price is coming to the point that it's not affordable at all. Okay. What we have done, we have offered price stability. And in this price stability, our rates are quite competitive. Regardless of what rates is in gas market. And also we have a floor price for renewables to be always investable. And we direct peer-to-peer exchange. In terms of when it was founded, Urban Chain, it came all from 2016, 2015, 16, when I was part of the projects around climate change and fuel poverty. And what it came to my mind was that renewable was sold very cheap at the time. And but at the same time, we had 10% fuel poor households. So for me, it wasn't making sense of all those supports that government has put in to install renewables, and being sold that cheap hasn't been passed to the customers to be using that energy and see the affordability of green power. But instead, basically things have changed. Things have turned in the opposite way. Green power has seen as a premium energy rather than the mainstream.
So I invested in solar panels back in 2011, and I wasn't convinced it was a great decision at the time, but it's proved to be a quite tremendous decision that gets better every year. But what are the scenarios what are the ideal customer situations? Is it commercial property? Is it private property? What is the ideal kind of situation for you to be able to help your customers out?
Lots of opportunities, but I would definitely say the opportunity to become a new form of prosumer, producer and consumer, is very huge now. So previously, as you mentioned, if we are a prosumer, if we have some sort of energy behind our meter and before exporting to the grid, meaning that we consume behind the meter from our own generation and then sell the excess to the grid or to the supply or anybody else. In case of, for example, a farmer, it could be the installation of a small wind using private wire in their farming land and then having a boundary meter and then export it. So that's also, has been the cases. But with our model, you don't need to have the energy just behind the meter. You can have energy somewhere else. Let's assume a business who has business premises, at the same time warehouses. Business premises in the city don't have opportunity to install renewable assets because of land issues or roof issues or planning permission issues. The other side, warehouses have huge amount of opportunity to install and huge amount of hoofs to install many types of renewables, either solar, battery, or if it's kind of like there's a land, a bit of wind or CHP, any type of that type of energy generation. And from that, they don't consume any that much behind the meter in that warehouse because the warehouse consumption is low. What they can do, they can net off their business operation with their excess capacity available from their warehouses and basically make the commodity price for themselves zero. Having said that, it's not just businesses with multiple buildings are our target. It can be anybody here, a household, a small business, because we have, for example, independent generators that they are selling to themselves, and they have excess capacity to sell somebody else. We have seen, for example, friends coming together. One friend has generation asset, the other friend is saying, okay, I have job consumption, and the friends are agreeing to sell energy between each other for a set price they have agreed. So that's another thing that you can think of.
Okay, so clearly the changes in fuel and energy has been kind of in the headlines for a couple of years now with electricity, gas, oil, etc. On the other hand, with if you like renewable setup, there's quite a few capital costs, and there's heat storage, and there's battery storage, and there's heat exchange, and there's the cost of the turbines, etc. So how have all those price fluctuations impacted the demand for your services, would you say, Sumaya?
I would say a lot. Specifically last year, we had more demand consumption to see. So when we joined in 2016-17, we started to share our system with the market in 2019. Initially, everybody was just saying, no, it's too good to be true. It's not possible. No, what you're saying is not possible. And they couldn't believe it. They didn't think, okay, it has the security they want compared to the conventional processes in place in the retail market. So they couldn't believe, consumption couldn't believe, generation couldn't believe. We trained consumption about what we want to do. It came to the point that we had too much consumption. Then generation came in and we trained generation about these things. So then again, it was for in the eye of generator and consumer, initially it was something good to have initially. But when everybody saw the price fluctuation again in 2021 and 2022, then both sides thinking of like, no, this is not something good to have. This is something must have. And therefore, the request gone up quite significantly following that events, to be honest.
Mm-hmm. So a lot of dynamics in the marketplace over which you've got no control in terms of the price of the various energy. So what about your aspirations for your business? How do you think those forces are going to shape your business, and where do you see your business in the next, say, 3 to 5 years?
Well, to be honest, I think we believe energy is not a luxury. So it's a necessity for everybody. But it hasn't grown or in the speed of the physics of energy has grown. The retail side of energy hasn't grown that much. And interestingly, people are not aware of two layers of energy sector, physics of energy and retail of energy. Physics of energy is about developing this community power, developing more renewable assets, different types of renewable assets, reducing our consumption, which is great. And many types of batteries out there, EVs out there, carbon capture, CHPs, heat pumps, all of those things that are available to us, which are great, great moves. But having said that, there is a layer of retail energy market which have been acting very much traditionally or conventionally regarding how to manage those renewable assets and new form of generation volumes. The way that they have been treating that generation volume is very conventional, and therefore it's not showing the benefit to the customer. What we wanted to do, we wanted to turn energy sector to something like communication industry. What happens is that our system is becoming too very much very much sophisticated in a sense that it's turning to a smart chip, like your smart SIM card, and is inserted to your smart meter placed in your house. That's how it's done. And then you download energy from the best place available, either can be your neighbor or a closest source available. And from that, you basically either pay as you go or you go to a plan to pay for your energy. But the whole exchange is managed by that intelligent chip, and therefore the whole quite like cost of energy as your basic need is manageable and is part of your daily routine. It's not something that you're worried about. And to be honest, it's not that you're worried about switching suppliers anymore. It's about basically customer service, similar to what's happening. So if you look at the communication industry between different providers, it's not that there's a huge difference between different providers of like £50, £60 between them. It's a small margin here and there difference, and it's more about customer service that makes everybody switching between different providers.
Interesting. So if we move away from the kind of macroeconomic trends and dynamics, what would you say are the main challenges to your business today? Is it delivering that customer service? Is it developing your team? What are the short-term challenges, would you say?
Yeah, the quad growth, the demand for our service is bigger than the capacity that we have. And this has been the main challenge. So we didn't have enough people. We haven't had enough people. But having said that, we have been raising. We have been focusing on raising. We have been focusing on customer service to make sure that our service to the current customer is right. And therefore becoming quite organically break even and profitable. So we have done those, but I would say again, every stage of scale up, because of the size of the contract comes after a certain point and the money is realized after, the team that needs to keep up with that is never enough. And finding the right balance in that space is quite the challenge for me.
Okay. And just to kind of reflect back, you mentioned 2015, 2016 that you started. So what's that, 7 or 8 years ago, Sumaya? What are the main lessons you've learned? And you know, if you were starting as a business owner today, what advice would you give yourself, do you think?
I think two many things, but the main important one, right people to be in the journey with you. Don't have people just for the sake of, not even just skills. Skill is part of the journey. In the process of setting up a business, which has risks, but it has quite big potential and also big ambition. The right people with the right mindset are the key for you to success. Because you can, with those right mindset, you can talk to them, and also you can get the advice from them, and therefore you can move on and keep going. Business has lots of ups and downs, but these people are the ones who are saving you to keep going.
I think it's a great point. I've got a follow-up question though, Sumaya. Has your recruitment approach changed, improved to enable you to get better at finding the right people?
Yeah. So previously, exactly the point that I mentioned, it was my mistake. So initially, I was very much focused on the skill set rather than mindset. Even like I was thinking, okay, the founders have the mindset, fine. From now on, because it wasn't just me started, it was also my commercial officer and information officer, three of us working together. Or I would say they were early founders with me later in from 2018, 19. What happened is that after that, I was just looking at the skill set of people to join, but I wasn't aware of the fact that, okay, even business with 20, 30, still one person without the right mindset is going to destroy the environment and the nice, quiet environment that you have created. Lots of kind of like politics happen while you are just a small business, and it's more about attitude and match with the team that overweight the skill set of the person.
How are you evaluating that Actually, are you asking them questions about it? Are you setting them tasks? What things are you doing?
Yeah, previously the interview process was just maybe interviews just about their skills and potentially the skill set on that scenarios. But now we invite people who to join our office for a day, and we see their reaction to the team.
Great. In the normal working environment. Got you. Yes. Okay. Very good. Fascinating. Excellent. Well, it's been an absolute pleasure, Samaya. One last question, if I may. If there's a potential partner or potential prospect that's interested in finding out more, maybe particularly if they've got two separate sites and they didn't realize you could kind of exchange energy across the sites, what might be a sensible next step?
Please go to our website. We have a contact form there, please. Or call us on our phone, 0161-307-1611. Give us an email, hello@urbanchain.co.uk. We are responding to all queries in 48 hours. In terms of what we would be very interested is that anybody interested in joining us, because we have lots of job opportunities that we are looking for, many people in sales, in account management, anything like that. Even if the job is not listed on our website, just contact us. We might have a job for you. So we are growing and we are very much keen to get people with the right mindset in the team.
And it absolutely. So if they've watched the full video, they know it's not just about skill set they need to display at the recruitment process.
That's right. That's right.
Very good. Well, we'll put those contact details together with this video when we post it up, Samaya. Thank you very much again, and all the very best with Urban Chain.
Thank you very much for having me. It was great to speak with you.